Welcome to Wolf Den's Dogs in the Den, your weekly insight into the fastest sport on four legs. We are back after a little freshen up, a little break, and we are rested and ready to rip right in and finish this year off. We've got three or four more Dogs in the Den to do, and it's great racing. Maybe the best, arguably the best night of greyhound racing is this Saturday night of the year.
The best.
You're going to say it's the best?
The best. Fresh is best. Just watching all those interviews post-heats of the Melbourne Cup last week, you can see the trainers have got a bit of a sparkle in their eye. They're all revved up and excited, and you can just tell why. This isn't the richest race across the Australian racing calendar, but it is the race that brings the most prestige, the Melbourne Cup. I can't wait to watch it on Saturday night.
Very good. Let's get into the show rundown. There it is up on there. So we'll get your Thursday set, which is the most important part. Then we're going to talk about the Bold Trees, the distance final, Group 1 final on Saturday night. Then we'll talk about the very incomparable Melbourne Cup, the famous Melbourne Cup of the Greyhound variety, the 515-metre race. We're going to have a chat with Corey Smith, who's our man on the ground down in Melbourne. With that out of the way, let's move to your accountability. 0 from 2 last week, and we just chip along at that 5% profit on turnover, strike rate below 50%, which is not what we like. We like to be above 50, like all great batsmen. You should be above
50. I'd prefer 50 it to be average. About 30% of the average price, a bit higher, but that's what happens when you tip a lot of shorties, which I do. Yeah, one of those tips was scratched last fortnight, so don't go blaming me for potentially leaving one out, because I definitely didn't. But let's get into this week. Trell Mitt, bring up the graphic. Albion Park, race 9, number 2, Duff Man, named after a very famous Simpsons character. Yep. He's been racing without much luck over the 500 metres in recent weeks. Lines up for his first crack over the middle distance, and these are the type of dogs that I am typically attracted to, because they can put themselves in a really, really prominent position early in the piece, and I think he'll do that and prove really hard to hold out. Let's head down to Hobart now, the Apple Isle, where racing's going to heat up there next week. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Race 4, number 2, B-Dale, has been racing against her hot litter mates in recent weeks, the likes of Seaton and Eaton. Mm-hmm. Don't get those two mixed up, because they're very sharp dogs, and we'll probably see them inland very shortly. Finds a much easier task here. Jump, lead, win. Race 9, number 1, Mr. Fahrenheit, whose numerical form of late doesn't present all that well. However, he has drawn really poorly. 7, 7, 8, his last 3 box draws. Back into the red here. Has clocked a really fast time at Hobart in the past, and I think he'll be a winner for you. So those are 3 of the best on Thursday night around the grounds.
Thank you, JC. Let's move to reviewing the heats of the Bold Trees, the distance event, as I said. And we've picked out 2 heats to look at. And we're going to start with Heat 1, and we're looking for Ethanol Water from the Black.
Yeah, well, Lethal Sniper here in box 5, SP favourite, spears the lids, heads to the front. Reiterate, box 4, another similarly coloured dog, lobs into 2nd. Ethanol Water, dog in focus here, into 3rd position. I thought this was a really, really good win from her. We've seen her in the past be a bit of a one-trick pony over this distance. She has typically needed to lead to win her races. As you'll see here, Lethal Sniper starts to get on really heavy legs, and Ethanol Water, there's a dog that needs the pounce, and she's the one that just goes, scoots around the outside, quickly puts 2, 3, 4 lengths on this field, wins by up to 6 lengths, runs 41.71, really, really good win. She's getting more seasons over this distance, and I think she's definitely one of the major players in the final.
Let's move to Heat 4, and we're going to look at Kenya All Class from the red, of course, owned by Mr. Corey Smith, who we will talk to soon. Jump beautifully, goes to lead.
Jump, lead, win. And that's exactly what he did. He was really well supported, started odds on this occasion, quickly put up 2, 3, 4 lengths on finish duel, went around the first post in 15.38, which is absolutely flying. High balls out in front. Nothing really looks to be a chance mid-race. Black Silencer in box 2, you're about to see him make a late charge. He only gets beat half a length in the end, but Kenya All Class run 41.55, which was clearly the fastest time of the entire night. Considering the sections he ran to the first, second, and third sections, he was more than entitled to knock up a little bit late, but he's just run the absolute clock down. Front-running stays are my favourite type of races, whether it's greyhounds or horse racing. So Corey Smith's obviously got a very, very, very talented pup, and he's pretty much becoming the best star in Australia. So be excited to see him go around on Saturday night.
Let's go and see what that market is for Saturday night. There it is, the Bold Trees market with the box draw. What do we make of it all, JC?
Yeah, well, let's get to the speed map first. I think Kenya All Class from box 2 can lead this race. You've got the likes of Kenya Amy in box 4 and Ethanol Water. They're both potentially considered a little bit further forward. I think Ethanol Water does lob into 2nd position. We saw her in 3rd in that heat. There was just a little bit more speed in that race. I think this race doesn't have a lot of pressure. And with that, I have actually landed on Kenya All Class, the favourite in this race. I think that's a fair enough price considering I think he'll pretty comfortably cross Black Silencer in box one, find the front. If he's running those sections out in front, he's got to be extremely hard to run down. And yeah, I think he's going to start favourite. I think he's a really, really fair price and I think he can make it back-to-back group ones in the space of a month.
Brilliant. Let's move on to the Melbourne Cup. We've picked out the four fastest heats to look at, which might be a little bit controversial when we go and look at the market. But we are going to kick off with Heat 2 and Sunset Frazier from the red. Wow-wee. Best race he's ever run.
Yes, 28.99 Sunset Frazier. He finally began on terms, and that was all he needed to do. He zoomed up, used box one to his advantage, held out Excavation. Some of the sections he ran were absolutely phenomenal. 18.35 down the back straight, which actually broke Fernando Bale's second section record of 18.36. Patch Adams was on course doing the post-race interviews, and his mind was absolutely blown. Mm-hmm. He's a runner for quite some time. I thought he had the best acceleration in the game, or very similar to Explicit. He proved finally on the big stage, did it right when you wanted to do it. Just absolutely phenomenal. What a greyhound. Excavation, phenomenal. Stiff as, if I'm being completely honest. He's run the third fastest time of the entire night. He's done all the work outside the leader. Correct. He couldn't have run any better. The dog's an absolute jet. Follow him wherever he goes next. He's got to win another Group 1 race very shortly. For me, he's probably the best dog in Australia. Sunset Frazier is probably a dog. Now we've finally seen him begin and Muster. He's probably the dog with one of the best accelerations in Australia, and same with Explicit. So those three dogs that hopefully for the next 6 months can really carry the sport into the future.
Excavation might get a run. So
Potentially. But wherever he goes next, I think he just wins realistically. That's a super run. Mm. Not many dogs from box eight sit behind a hot tempo like that and still find the line. And it was very, very unlucky not to have qualified.
Yeah, we should mention that. There's eight heats. All the winners go through and then the fastest 2 seconds. Let's move on to Heat 5. Explicit from the Czechs.
Yes, all eyes on Explicit here, and rightly so. Finally, it's been a long time between drinks, but he began on terms and he just speared straight to the front. He's got a really ripping turn of speed, this dog. He ran 4.97 to the front, which is absolutely unheard of. Break 5 seconds, you can win every race at Sandown pretty much, and you're very likely to win a Melbourne Cup, and he's got to be really hard to hold out in that final. 18.48 down the back, 2 lengths off Sunset Frazier. Overall, 29.05, a length off Sunset Frazier. Very strong through the line, as you see there. Fernando Field running home well in a second. But yeah, it was good to see the real Explicit step up on the big stage. Now it's just interesting to see what he does when all the pressure will be on him on Saturday night.
Because he's yet to win a major, isn't he? He's had his chance.
He won a few majors 6 months ago.
Favourite for the Brisbane Cup, favourite for the $1 million chase and that kind of stuff. And
yeah, he won the Group 1 Temley, I'm pretty sure, at the start of this year. But since then, he's in the last 6 months or so, he's been favourite in four races around two-turn tracks. And he's finished unplaced in all of them. So the jury's out for me with that dog. Obviously, he's absolute jet. No one discounts that or discredits that. But whether he can handle the pressure of three or four dogs going with him is questionable, I reckon. So let's see what happens on Saturday night.
Let's go to Heat 6, and we're looking for Miss Envy from the yellow.
Yeah, Lakeview Emily here in box one. She started a very short-priced favourite, was unable to hold the lead. Matlock there in box four zooms across, gives the perfect cart to Miss Envy, and once she found the front, she was never going to get run down. She's an extremely strong chaser. She's pretty much won every single race she's contested in. WA chaser, really well-bred, and yeah, really, really strong. Definitely a bitch that could get over further down the track. 29.16 is a really, really fast run, and she was one of three WA dogs that booked their ticket on the night into the Melbourne Cup.
Very good. Let's move on. We're going to go to Heat 8. Big Energy from the white.
Oh, he's in the zone, this dog, Benny. Thought he sort of lost him there for 6 months. He had a bit of a lean period for a dog that's as fast as he was, but he's won his last four races, including this one here. Gets in the third position here underneath Hotel Whiskey 1. Quickly gets on the outside of Stormy Day, puts him away. 29.14, fourth successive win. Really like this call. Benny is the Jet. Mm-hmm. I like that song, Elton John. One of my favourite artists of all time. It was a great win. He's going to be very hard to hide out in the finals, peaking at the exact time you want to peak. And yeah, Kel Greeno and Jackie Greeno, they got two runners through to the final, as well as Miss Envy, who they're looking after for the Shinners team. So they've got a great representation in the final, as well as Jason Thompson.
Let's go and have a look at the said final and the market and the draw.
Yeah, well, there's speed absolutely everywhere. I think every dog can pretty much lead this race if they began at their best, other than probably the dogs out wide, Big Energy and Buddy Minnelli. I think they might struggle to get across. purely because of the amount of even speed across the field. A lot of these dogs can drop a five dead to the first mark. I think it's a really, really tough race this year. It's a high-quality race, arguably one of the best races we've seen this year, obviously being a Group 1 Melbourne Cup. I have decided to lob with Miss Envy here. She's down the bottom there, $6.50, $2.10 mm-hmm. with Ladbrokes. I think she could get a very similar run to what we just saw there. Matlock there in box four gave her a lovely cart to the race. Sunset Fraser is a very similar dog to Matlock, obviously a lot quicker, but he is a dog that has great acceleration and wants to get back to the fence. That's going to give her room to balance up and hopefully get into a prominent position. And you've got Explicit there in box six. I know he did begin last week, but prior to that, he hadn't begun like that for a very long time. Whether he's now in the, it's a bit of a 50-50 in my brain, whether now he's in the mood and he's got to begin again or he's going to go back to his, I guess, old habits. You'll muster up and try and find a position. But I just think she could potentially get a bit of room to move early, and we saw how strong she was through the line there. She's a dog that can come from off the speed as well. So at the each way odds, I think she is the way I am going to go in the Melbourne Cup for 2024.
And Joey the Jet, we didn't review his heat because it was one of the four fastest, but yes, he lobs up the top there. Why do you think that is?
Oh, just off the box one. Everyone wants box one. He was really brilliant off box one a couple of weeks ago when he had his first start on a two-turn track. He's a dog that's always promised a lot. He came through the Zoom Top series at Goulburn, was formerly trained by Andy Lord, won his first two races at Goulburn, run really fast time there. Would have went really close to breaking the track record on that occasion. Now he's obviously with Team Thompson. He was really brilliant from box eight, speared the lids, got across and won. Box one's obviously a massive tick. He is a dog that can obviously improve, but it is, once again, he's thrown into the deep end here. He is favourite. I don't think he'll start favourite. I think they'll come for Explicit. They always do. He always seems to start favourite in this race, in these type of races. But yeah, Joey's the Jet and Epitomise. They're two dogs that are probably maybe 3 to 6 months away from their absolute best, even though they're on the big stage. I think their dogs can definitely follow into the future.
Very good. Let's go and talk to Mr. Corey Smith. It's time to welcome in Mr. Corey Smith from down Melbourne way. And we've had him on the show. This is the third time. The first time he came on, we compared him to Tom Brady. The second time we referred to him as Fit As. And now we're going to give him a new nickname on this third appearance. Mr. Group 1 Corey, how are you, mate? And welcome.
Going well. I tell you what, my ego gets a fair boost when I come on this show, so I'm willing to jump on each and every week with you blokes because you're too nice to me. I don't get this sort of treatment when I jump on any other sort of media program.
That's right. It's all about pumping your tyres up, mate. And they don't need a lot of pumping up at the moment because you're up and about with Canyon All Class, aren't you? He's going brilliant for you and giving you a great ride.
Yeah, it's obviously something that you always dream of is to have a dog that competes in Group 1s, let alone manages to win one, which he did in the Top Gun Stayers. But yeah, it's certainly something you have to pinch yourself. And to be honest, I'm just in awe of the dog. And Jess Hopkins has done a fantastic job as trainer, obviously winning her first Group 1. I think that was probably overdue, given her level of capability as a trainer. But yeah, I'm absolutely pinching myself. I don't really know how to kind of deal with it, to be honest, but I'll enjoy the ride while I can.
And so what is your history with dog ownership? How many dogs have you owned before this one, and how did you get into Kenya All Class?
Yeah, so my whole life I've had greyhounds in the backyard. Dad bred a couple of litters, raced a few dogs when we were growing up, and I actually met Jess when I was probably 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere around there, where her family reared plenty of greyhounds for Dad growing up. So I kind of knew of her. Didn't speak to her for probably from the ages of about 12 to about 18. Didn't really kind of follow the greyhounds too closely. I was probably had other interests, and Dad was dragging myself and my brother all around Victoria watching races, whichever code it was. He's always had a passion for ownership and the racing, and probably went away from it a little bit. And then when I went to uni, a group of mates decided that we wanted to buy into a dog, and one of the boys actually found Jess on Twitter, and they were both Carlton Nuffies and started talking, and he mentioned it to me, and I said, well, actually, I know Jess and I reckon she'd be able to help us out. And we ended up with a dog called Toontown, who I'll be honest, he was probably built for the couch more than he was built for the racetrack, but we managed to win a race for him, and it just kind of snowballed from there. I've owned a few more dogs with Jess. We had some success. We won a Group 3. The bloke that's now on my couch, Eyecatcher, he won 21 races trained by Jess and was kind of a stepping stone towards it. And I hadn't actually had a dog for about 2 years, and Jess rang me and said, look, we're buying into a dog, we're spending X amount on it, would you be interested in buying some or a little or whatever you want, basically. And I bought in, and it ended up being five of us that all got 20% each, including Jess, who has 20% herself. So she obviously believed in the dog prior to him starting his race career, and we've had him for 23 starts. He's won 160,000, and then most importantly, the group won the other week in the Top Gun Stayers. So it's been an absolute roller coaster of a ride, but it's greyhound racing. Anything can happen, and it's certainly been a positive journey so far.
Yeah, brilliant stuff, mate. And let's bring the market up for the Boltrice on Saturday night, and you can see your dog up there up the top drawing the checks. What do you make of the whole race, and I guess how are you feeling about Kenya All Class, and where do you think the biggest danger comes from?
Yeah, look, he's the sort of dog throughout his whole career. Myself as a punter, I've probably steered clear of him. I think I've only backed him twice in his 23 starts, because he's a sort of dog that gets back, and my sort of style as a punter is to find greyhounds that are going to find the front. But now that he's got the 700 metres, we saw him run some unbelievable sectionals last week, and he might be able to find the front again here. Black Silence, that we led last week, and he was probably favoured by the small field. Very, very fast animal, and ran us to within a length. So he's a massive chance from the inside. I think they're the two winners from the box draw. Passmark is just a really underrated stayer. He's just going to keep grinding away, and he'd probably need 800 metres, and he'd be giving plenty of these a bit of a touch-up. But there's so much talent. You've got Ethanol Water, who could be anything. Alice Babe, I think, is one of the best stayers in the land. She just gets back and needs a little bit of luck. And Kenya Amy's been flying as well, Flying Envy's on the rise. Shutters of Blue is a greyhound I've always had an opinion of. So it's chock full of quality. As you can see by the market, Kenya All Class is very well respected. And I couldn't be happier with the draw. I think he had a string of about 18 races where he'd drawn inside box four once, and then in a Boltrice heat, he gets box one, a Boltrice finally gets box two. So I personally got him on top, and I'd like to think that that's not a biased take. I think he's going to be really hard to beat. He was the fastest heat winner from last week, so I suppose that throws a bit of extra credibility behind it.
Very good. JC, he's got him on top as well when he just reviewed the race as well, so you can add that to your confidence levels. Moving on from that, so the Melbourne Cup is on as well. I thought we'd just have a quick chat about that. When we spoke last time, you were pretty keen on Explicit in the Melbourne Cup. He is in the field now and drawn pretty well. What did you make of the Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, well, Explicit's the dog, I think I said last time I was on, I think he's the best dog in the country, and I stand by that. I truly do believe that. He's a dog that can win from any draw, whether it be one, whether it be eight. He's got six on Saturday night, and he's going to be hard to beat. Miss Envy to his inside won't pressure him too much. She'll look to kind of run straight or head towards the rail, and Big Energy on it. His outside is another greyhound that we could probably lead if he lands in front. So Explicit's going to be incredibly hard to beat, but Sunset Fraser was absolutely phenomenal. He was the run of the Melbourne Cup heats, if you ask me. He broke Fernando Bale's second split record at Sandown, which is just absolutely mind-boggling to me. I honestly didn't think that would ever get broken, and to be able to do it in front of a dog that's won the Top Gun recently in Excavation, and Hector Fawley, who's the Victorian Greyhound of the Year. He's obviously beaten up on a couple of really talented dogs. He goes into box four. I don't think that's too much of an issue for him. It's just the first 20 metres is going to decide this race, in my opinion. There's plenty of dogs. Joey the Jet, Epitomise, Explicit, Sunset Fraser, Big Energy even. They can all run 5 seconds flat to the first mark, which is absolutely flying, but they need to go untouched in the first 20 metres. So for me, I think I'd be happy to back Explicit, but I think I'd be backing Miss Envy for a bigger result, to be honest. I think box number five doesn't actually seem as bad as it kind of sounds on paper. Sunset Fraser can go right a little bit, but then he heads towards the rail, and Explicit will keep a straight line. So I think Miss Envy will be able to get the room in the race to kind of be able to strut her stuff, and she's a greyhound on the rise, as many of these are. There's plenty of young superstars in this one.
Brilliant. All right, well, thank you for that, Corey. Always enjoy having you on, and would love to have you back on before the Phoenix later towards the end of the Dream Chasers Carnival. Can we lock that in now?
Absolutely. Let's lock it in. I'm always happy to talk Phoenix. Seems to be all everyone wants to talk to me about at the moment, which is a good thing, because it's such a big race and it's such an important kind of promotional opportunity that greyhound racing has. So always happy to talk Phoenix.
Thanks, Corey. Best of luck on Saturday night, mate.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, JC, always great to hear from the great Corey Smith.
Good luck to Corey
Saturday night. For him on Saturday
I think he'll lob. I think he'll get his second Group 1 win in a matter of 3 or 4 weeks. So best of luck to Corey and all the connections there. I can't wait to see a very talented stayer go around once again. And I think he could win pretty much every race for the next 6 months. He's an absolute jet and he's got the sections to do so.
Very good. What have we got to look forward to, mate?
Up on your screen, Ladbrokes, our friends at Ladbrokes. They are looking after the folk down in Tasmania. I love Tasmania. I do a lot of my form down there, work for Racing Tasmania, a little plug there. And they've decided to give 100,000 smackaroonies, triple threat two connections of the three major races in Tasmania over the next couple of months. You've got the Hobart 1000, which the heats will be on the following Thursday. We'll definitely be covering them next week. I'm expecting a lot of Victorians to go down there and compete, as they always do. And then after that, you've obviously got the Phoenix, which will be our last feature race to cover for Dogs in the Den for 2024. It's been a long 2024 RI. I've really enjoyed every moment of it, and I can't wait to close this year out, hopefully on a winning note, and get to watch a lot of really fast greyhounds rock and roll this Saturday at Sandown and heading into December.
Very good. You mentioned the Phoenix, and we know that Rinse the Lot is already in the Phoenix under the Melbourne Storm slot. Mr. Brenton Abdullah, the gun who's over in Hong Kong, he has a share in Rinse the Lot, so I'm going to make it my goal to try and get him on Dogs of the Den next week. It'd also be good timing because the Hong Kong International Race Meeting is on as well. So maybe I can have a bit of a chat with him about
when
the races.
When RI calls
well.
$1 to get him in the seat.
Hopefully.
Most connected man in racing. You should see his phone book. It's huge.
We did a podcast. He was one of the very first people we ever did a podcast with. So yeah, we'll try and get him in that.
Brent Serafa also.
He was numero uno.
Yeah, BZ, yeah. The man, the goat.
I think you're about number three or four when we did the Punt Hub live stream. Yes. That was very early days.
That was when my talent was first
identified. You stood out.
Thank you.
Very good. Enjoy the weekend of greyhound racing. Enjoy the weekend of horse racing. We'll see you soon.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.